And for bypass meditation, one can attain peace of mind. Of course, these are the options may not require actually for Arjuna. Arjuna was already a pure devotee. He was put in that situation so that Krishna could explain various alternatives for the generation, the future generations of the practitioners to attain perfection in their life. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada differentiates the two processes. That is, one is by gradual development and the other one is the direct process. So in case of gradual process, as we read the purport and the translation, the process involves noticing the fruits of one's activities. And then one comes to the stage of knowledge, then to the stage of meditation, then to the stage of super soul, that is, understanding the Paramatma aspect, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these stages are two complex stages if one is to pass through. So, there is, you know, if we take up, you know, in the purport, Prabhupada starts with renunciation of fruits of activities. So, for a person to start by renouncing the fruits of activities is quite difficult, because we are all attached to the material things. So, the whole world is moving towards accumulating wealth, making money. And we don't think something for spiritual elevation, that's a big question mark. And how much you renounce? So, we can see some of the people, you know, industrialists, we can see among the industrialists, they set up big corporations, expand their business, spend their whole life with so much of problems, and then they expand further and further, but they have achieved whatever they have initially planned, materially, everything, but they are not satisfied. They are frustrated in the end. And then they establish some charity trust. You can see most of the companies, they have their charity foundation also. You can see Bill Gates. So, you know, he monopolized the complete market for the basic software that is required for running the computer. And after doing for achieving that, there's so much of the trouble, so much of fighting, so many court cases throughout the world because of, you know, the monopolistic approach and all those things. And then finally, you know, after doing all these things, the person gets frustrated, and then they find another proof that, you know, to find out of the foundation. So, this is the problem. We can find many companies, many establishments, they do this. And then, you know, they try to get some satisfaction out of that, doing some social work. So, and if you see, this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that this is also is acceptable. Instead of just working and just material advancement, even if you come to that stage, that is also good. So, but very few people, and it is so painful process. There is a famous joke where, you know, there is one person who is lying on the seashore, just he was relaxing, you know, for his breathing, whatever is required, you know, he is to eat fish and he is to get some fish and some vegetables, something. He is to just eat that, and then he was having a small cottage nearby, and he was relaxing. At that time, there is one businessman who approached him. He said that, "Oh young man, what are you doing here?" So he said, "You know, I'm a simple, you know, fisherman, so I'm just staying here nearby and I catch some fish and then you know, grow some vegetables, some grains, and then I'm living." He said that, "You know, why don't you do one thing? Why don't you have a small, instead of, you know, just catching few fish, why don't you get a small boat and then you can catch more fish? And you know, then you can sell it in the market, and then you can get money. and then you can do so many things, and then you can grow your business. Once you know you start getting money, then you can get bigger boats, and then you can get ships, then you can have your shipping line, and you know, fishery, so many, you know, products you can sell, you can make money. But then you are, you know, patiently you are asking, innocently, and then what next? What was then? Then finally he said, then you can relax. Then you need not to worry about anything. Then you have lot of money and lot of wealth and so much of this thing. And he says, that is what I'm doing now. So he says, why so much complex thing? So this is the typical material utilization. You know, we want to do so many things and we achieve so many things, and after that, end of the day, we get frustrated. And then we take up the process. And even after getting Krishna consciousness, after going the process, perfect process, how much we are bonding actually, day in and day out. Because we think that, you know, if we don't have, you know, we have to be practical in our approach. So these are the justifications we give, and we work hard like any other kami. And so try to accumulate wealth, assuming that, you know, one day we can retire and do full-time devotional service. And you don't know when that full day, one day comes, it is very difficult. Because children, you know, we have to take care of children, you know, we have to take their education, we have to be practical, then done. Then after that, grandchildren will come. Then something else will happen in our family. So it is very difficult. But at the same time, Prabhupada gave us a perfect process, very easy. You know, in whatever situation you are, we can perform devotional service. And we can progress in the devotional path. It is not necessary that, you know, we just renounce everything. So it is, you know, in Prabhupada giving reference to 18th chapter where it is mentioned about occupational engagements. One should not just give up the occupational engagements in the name of just devotional service without really getting a cash flow for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But just by following the regulated principles and of regulated devotional service, we can see the change in our life. So this is about the renouncing the fruits of action. Then the knowledge. So one, the renunciation. So actually the sequence in the translation, if you see, it is mentioned, it is from the knowledge it starts, knowledge and then meditation and then to the fruits of action, renunciation. But in purpose, Prabhupada says, Prabhupada putting this renunciation of fruits of action in the sequence. So, and after that, cultivation of knowledge. The cultivation of knowledge, it is not any material knowledge actually. So cultivation of it is Dhamma Jnana basically. It is the understanding of the absolute truth. So cultivation of knowledge, it is termed as Jnana Yoga. It is another complex process. So here, it is a very detailed study, and what is Brahman, what is not Brahman. So there are so many literatures one should study, and also one should have a knowledge of Sanskrit to understand these scriptures properly. And learning Sanskrit itself is a big process if you want to understand, because the Sanskrit verses, it is having different meanings. The same word is having so many meanings, and interpretation of the right meaning at a right, in a right verse, it is not easy. And say in India, there are schools who teach Sanskrit, like, you know, in Banaras Hindu University, in Varanasi, there are schools who teach Sanskrit. And the course is a 12-year course. Just Sanskrit, learning Sanskrit is a 12-year course. So we can understand how complex it is. Otherwise, you know, the cultivation of knowledge, there are certain gurus, certain, who picked up something from the Vayavada philosophy and who propagate this process. This is, you know, meditation on the unmanifested form. There are many organizations where, you know, the ultimate objective is not. Mainly, they propagate this with the name of just, you know, some byproducts of the spiritual path. That is, you know, you become free from stress, peace of mind, and only the people will just remain in that. So, it is, the progress is is very complex. Recently I met one person who was following one of his paths, who was following this path for 30 years. And I was very interested, you know, so 30 years he followed this path, you know, now what is your, now, you know, somehow, you know, the Swamiji was not, you know, he just left us free. Like, you know, whatever your level you continue, whatever you are able to do, you do. And there is no association. He just stopped doing everything after practicing for 30 years. And he said at one stage he was able to float, you know, on the air. Because certain, you know, the meditation practices, there you can raise yourself from the floor and all. He was doing all those things. And after that, today, again, back to meditating and everything. So, it is just because the association is not there, or, there is no the direction. So, it is just followed and just left. And when I explained to him about what we are doing, you know, we were discussing about what we do spiritually, and I said that we meet every weekend, we have Sunday program, and then we have various festivals. And just by hearing this, he was amazed. He said, wonderful, this is great. Then I have shown him our websites and all. He was so impressed. So definitely one day I'll come. So let us hope one day it will, because he was sincerely following whatever path he was trying to follow. But somehow it is deviated because there is no strong hand holding, and that is what we think. And we are so fortunate that we have a proper setup where everything is so easily available. Sometimes we take it for granted also. So that is the other side of it. But it is so amazing, and people really appreciate this particular thing what we have. This is Prabhupada's mercy. We read, you know, Prabhupada's lecture wherein he mentioned, you know, how strict guidelines he set, and that is the reason why this movement is growing and people all over the world thinking of the process. So the knowledge is quite complex. Prabhupada mentions, you know, it's a dry speculative philosophy and all. There is no service as such. It is just keep on, you know, searching. And after some time, a person gets hold of this knowledge. Then Prabhupada says in the purport or in the verse, there is some jnana, then they come to jnana, that is to the meditation level. So there was a, you know, how this path of knowledge is dry and there is no service, and because of that, the progress is very, very difficult. There are a lot of impediments in the progress. So there is one, it is a small story of one guru and disciple. And this is both are the Jnanavadi guru and disciple. And they were studying the scriptures, and they were staying together. They go to different places and go study, and we both argue each other, you know, present their points. So this is the process they learn. And then Guru thought that he is just, you know, discussing, he is not entering any service, this disciple. Then he said, you know, I have to engage him somehow. You know, he is trying his best to engage him. But this disciple, he was using all the arguments, all the knowledge he learned, and he was just twisting. Whatever questions this service he was getting, he was just trying to put it back to Guru only. He was not really doing it. You know, one day Guru wanted to take rest, and he said that, you know, there is a lot of noise coming from outside, and you know, ask them to stop. You know, just I want to take rest. So, and the disciple says that it's very simple. There is a quarter line in your head, you know, just put it in your ears, finish. So, this is answer. Then Guru was thinking, how to engage this person? Then he thought for a while and he said that, you know, this light, you know, is so bright that I can't take rest. Can you please, you know, ensure that these lights are off? Guru, it is so simple, you just put the blanket over, finish. Why you have to put the, because you are also sleeping, you don't want to get up. And he said that, you know, you just put up, you know, you just, pull your blanket over your, this thing, and let it. Then Guru was thinking, you know, how to engage this person again, you know, you are thinking. And then he said that, you know, door is open, you know, anybody may come, you know, we have kept our things and, you know, anybody may come, you know, why don't you just close the door? Now Guru was thinking that he will just, now this is no option, because, you know, he has to go and then close the door. At that time, the disciple said that, you know, you had first two problems, I have given you solution. The third one, why don't you sort out? this is how, you know, the various the processes are actually. And we can see, you know, when we interact with some people who are having this kind of propensity, they discuss, go round and round and round, and they reach, and when you bring them to Krishna consciousness, again they go back. You know, in this Purana, you know, it is said like that, but in this Purana it is like this. You know, it is so complex, because all these Puranas, these things are, there are incidents in the history, it is repeated so many times. Like, in Yuga cycle, the Brahmas one day is 1000 Chaturyugas. There's one Yuga, is one Kaliyuga, is more like 32,000 years. So, one Dwapara Yuga is 2 times Kaliyuga. And then 3 times Kaliyuga is Treta Yuga. Then 4 times is Satya Yuga. So, this is one Yuga cycle. That is, the millions of years is one Yuga cycle. Such 1000 Chaturyugas is Brahmas one day. And such 1000 Chaturyugas is one Brahmas one night. And such, 365 days is one year. And the current age of this Brahma, of this universe, is 52 years and few manus. So you can imagine, it is millions of years already, and so many Yuga cycles. And these Puranas, these things, are repeated in different Yugas. So we will find the differences. You can see, you know, some book written by somewhere, referred by the, you know, in some people in North India is different than what book referred in South India, you know. It's quite different. But if you understand this basic thing, that these are repeated, it is not a question of just one time happening. Krishna appears so many times, Krishna is constantly appearing in different part of the, you know, the creation. So if this point you can understand, then that clarifies so many doubts of people. So this we can understand from, you know, because of Prabhupada's mercy. Otherwise, it's very difficult for us to realize, people just get confused and they think, you know, this spiritual, you know, they think that these people, you know, these stages, they must have sat, they had no other work at that time, those days there were no companies and industries and all. They were just sitting under a tree and maybe writing all these scriptures, and, you know, and that is why there is so much of deviation. We should not know this. You have to find different paths. Yes, but Prabhupada gave knowledge in a perfect way, in a very scientific way, which a modern man can understand. That is why we are here. Otherwise, we would have been one among them. We would have been one of the such persons who are criticizing or who are making remarks without even understanding anything of scriptures. So then, in the process of meditation, it is like, you know, there are different stages. Ashtanga Yoga is the proven process. There are few devotees and few people who follow this process. There are examples. But this process is also quite complex. This process starts with Yama Niyama, that is, do's and don'ts. That is much more stringent than our regular principles. So you start with that, Yama Niyama, then Asana. The coaches, Prabhupada referred to the gymnastics. Because without doing anything, we just go to asana. Yamanyama is not there, then, you know, then it is gymnastics only. Asana, then pranayama, then breathing process. And this requires so many years of practice. Pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, jnana, samadhi. So, you should pass through all these stages to come reach the stage of jnana actually. Before that, if you sit, you cannot concentrate. Your mind will go here and there. And we can understand that this is not the process for this yuga. So, for the process for this yuga is chanting of the holy name. We can understand that from the verse, Krite Jayate Vishnu, Vetayam Yajatopati. Dwaparayam, Haritaryayam, Kalendra, Harikirtanam. You know, there are four processes for four yugas. in the Krita Yuga, there is Satya Yuga, it is Dhyana actually, Dhyana was suggested. The people used to live for 100,000 years, that was the lifetime. So they used to, you know, do the meditation for 50,000 years. Like Vishwamitra Muni and the great sages, they performed tapasya for so many years. And that is impossible in this age. First of all, we don't have that much lifetime. Maybe for passing through these all steps, we may have 2 days actually. So, because lifetime is like 100 years. And we know what happened before that. And today, if you are 30 plus, you start getting various diseases. Beyond that, if somebody is very healthy, not going much to a doctor, he is considered to be very fortunate. So that is the situation. And in the about the four processes for Kriya, Krita Yuga, Dhyana, then Vishnu, Treta Yuga, Vajatoma, in the Treta Yuga, they perform yajnas, various yajnas. And performing these yajnas, you require yajnic brahmans. And today, it is very difficult to find qualified brahmanas to perform yajnas, because, you know, the purpose of yajna is when you sacrifice any animal, so that should come, that should get the new animal should come out of that, that is the purpose of yajna. And for lighting the lamps and all, it is to do the mantra, say, you lit the lamps, they using the samhita and mantra. So this was the level of brahmana required for performing yajna as per the Vedic process. So it is also out of question. Today you don't even get pure ghee actually for performing yajna. So ingredients you don't get. If you don't use the right ingredients, then it is very difficult. Like samhitas and all, whatever we use. There are processes for even cutting those samhitas actually. This should be trees, the samhitas should be cut at a particular time before, you know, sunrise or in this particular period, this particular month. And it should be wet, it should not be dry. So there are so many things, then only it will give the desired result. Otherwise, the result is not there. So that also is one cannot follow. And the other one is deity worship. That is for that is started in the Dwapara Yuga. There also, there are so many guidelines for deity worship. So, if you follow all the guidelines, I read in one of the Prabhupada's reports, the person did not come out of the bathroom. Because there is so much of purity is required, like, you know, once we in ourselves, we are not supposed to touch any part of our body in bed with that hand. If you touch any part of the body, any hair in the body or anything, you will take bath. So it requires so much of practice. So it's so difficult. These processes are. And then the last is Kalyata Prithitaram. This is the perfect process. So, you know, we hear from Sudarshan Prabhu when he performs Yajna and all, he specifically mentions that Yajna we perform, but many things is holy name, chanting of the holy name. Whatever offering we give, it is holy name. Holy name is the one. That is ultimate Yajna for this yoga. Yajnanam, Japayajnusmi, Japayajna is the ultimate yajna for this age. So we were discussing about Ashtanga Yoga, how complex the process is and different other processes for different ages. So about this meditation, you know, some of the people who don't know actually what should be the object of meditation. Like, you know, today I say Vishnu, we should meditate on the super soul which is residing in our heart. So, but super soul, if you say that if you talk about Krishna and people feel that, you know, it is, you are teaching a particular sect, you know, you are talking about particular religion. People don't want to, you know, do that, and there are so many gurus who just say, you just be silent, no need to concentrate, and that's how people, you concentrate on the life. You know, like one of the Prabhupada disciples, you know, said that, you know, when I fully chant with full concentration, I see light sometimes, Prabhupada. okay, you continue to chant that life will disappear. Prabhupada used to say, because you know, people come from different parts and they hear it and then they speculate, they imagine, they think that you know, life is coming. So one of the person who was discussing with me, he said that, you know, when he was doing some silent meditation. And after some time, you know, after 10 minutes, I said, you know, how long you meditate? He said, for around 20 minutes, I said. After 10 minutes, I feel, you know, I'm in trance. So then I said, oh, wonderful, 10 minutes, go to trance. But he just observed, because I don't want to fight it, just observe, and sometimes what happens? And then what time you meditate? I said, you know, he said, just before going to lunch, I meditate. So normally you are strained a lot of stress, and then when we get the rest, normally we go to sleep. So just see whether you are sleeping. So because I do not say that you are sleeping, but I have seen, you know, people just actually literally sleeping. In our company we have meditation room actually in India as well as in Singapore. So in Singapore of course nobody go there actually. People go and they lie down, take rest, and then to take rest, they're properly sleeping actually. They say that, you know, we are taking rest actually in this place, because nobody is using that much. So but in India they have been sent for one of these meditation paths. And I used to accompany them. I used to take my wheel. Anyway, process is there. It's very good. I used to take my wheel bag and I used to do it silently. The chanting and I used to see what they do actually. I used to see some people even snoring. And if you ask them what you are doing, you know, meditation is perfect. So, you know, you get relaxed, you know, completely. Definitely. There is some process in Ayurveda which says that, you know, that is called it's 10 minutes sleep. There is a particular Sanskrit word for that. If we just sleep, Vamakukshi, it is called Vamakukshi. We just sleep for 10 minutes and you get full relaxation. This is practiced in some of our temples also. Where you know the brahmacharis and all, they get up very early in the morning, 3 o'clock they get up and their duty continues till night and then they don't get rest. So they are advised 10 minutes of, you know, this kind of rest, Vamakukshi. So this meditation is like Vamakukshi actually. It is just taking rest. So these are the things which happen in the name of meditation. But people get relaxed and they think that, you know, okay, this meditation is very good. And they don't think beyond. They just remain there for the lifetime. Because some input is given and, when people are outside that nowadays, you need not to concentrate on any God or anything, you know, this is universal, this anyone can follow. People just, you know, buy those words and they think that, you know, this is the perfect path. And everybody takes up. So there is about this meditation, there are some people, they concoct and they make narrow meditation. They know that something called meditation. The one person I met during my recent overseas tour in Europe, so there he was saying, he said the discussion started by, about the food practice and all, we don't take, the onion, garlic. And he said, onion I can understand, but what about garlic? Is it good? Will it have a medicinal value and all those things and all that? And, long discussion they had. Then I found he's very keen. And then he said that, I used to visit the church in the past and I find that, whatever they're preaching and what, so actual practices are not actually in line. And then I stopped going there and now I'm just trying to practice meditation. I'm trying to find, one of my friends is practicing something. I want to go there, And this, he was discussing, I said, are you practicing anything? He said, yes, I do practice. So where do you do it? And he said, I go to sauna. Sauna, where? So he said, in the sauna, and the temperature, that's high temperature and high steam. And then I said, I feel, completely I'm in trance. Okay, then I found that, he is very, very keen, very interested in finding a path. Then we were discussing and he was writing me in different, we were to visit for some business tools, different places, and he was writing me, I was discussing with him and he said that he was asking so many questions and I discussed with him about consciousness. And And he was so interested, and he asked so many questions, very sincere inquiries. And then in the night, he went and he the website, and next day his questions are more concentrated, very sincere questions, not a single challenging question. Because these so many sincere people, but they don't know the path. Unfortunately, they just, in the name of meditation, they pick up here and there something, and then they, nowadays people just go to internet and say whatever they find, they try to practice that. Internet is a guru now, for many people actually. And it is so complicated, you get different versions that you get confused. And then you think that you have done so many things that you are so knowledgeable. So, these are, you know, the various complexities of different paths which is mentioned. And then after meditation, then you have to realize the super soul within. That is very high stage. Dhruva Maharaj achieved this level. Dhruva Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj in his previous life, they are the ones who exalted devotees who achieved, who have realized the Paramatma. And from Dhruva Maharaj pastimes, you can understand how complex, what kind of austerities he performed to achieve this realization. And after achieving this realization, you know, when he was really meditating on the Vishnu form, and when he achieved, then he gets a realization and Lord appears. And after just by glance, he said that, you know, his intention was, the main target of meditation is to get a kingdom bigger than his father's. Bigger than even his grandfather, that is Brahma, actually. He wanted to, you know, get a much bigger kingdom. And that was his target. And the moment he achieves through the meditation, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in front of him, he just said, you know, I was just looking for broken glass. Now I got the diamond, and you know, I don't require anything. But of course, because of the austerities and all, and he was given the dual planet, and there he was to rule for so many thousands of years, there was a benediction, and after that, he can go back home, back to body. So, we can understand, it is not a simple thing to actually, you know, reach this level. And there's no point in just wasting time in various paths. And Prabhupada, in this purport, repeatedly mentions that it is a direct process. We can understand this is how it is a direct process. See, it is so amazing that we don't require any pre-qualification to follow the devotional service. So if some program is going on, but of course now we are here in level 3, if it is level 1, it is so easy for anyone to, you know, get the mercy of the devotional service. Well, for some material reasons, they may be coming to temple. We find there are so many people who come to the temple just to take darshan of the deities and take some prasad. So they can see, you know, Katha is going on, if they are fortunate, if they come on the Saturday, the Katha is going on, they can just sit for Katha and they can hear and they can participate in the you know, the Kirtan, they can honor Prasadam, devotees always, you know, just look for anybody, new person, also everyone, you know, devotees are so keen to serve them. Even if they participate in one program, they got the, you know, the Prabhupada mentions that it is like, you know, the devotional service is, each thing, what we do, it is like an intravenous drug actually. It is directly getting into, you know, the immediate action will be there. So it is so wonderful, and if they interact with the devotees, and if they have some sincerity, some interest, they can get into the process. This is how we all must have come through devotional service, by different, by interacting with some friend of ours who is a devotee, and you know, he would have given us some love shown, and you know, compassion. He called us and followed up with us, and we are here. And that is why the Prabhupada says that it's a direct process. because there is no pre-qualification absolutely for chanting. From day one you can start chanting. It is not that you have to take initiation to start, or you have to go through this process, you have to learn Sanskrit, or first you have to read Bhagavad Gita. There are so many misconceptions, misunderstandings in the followers of traditional spiritual path. There are some people, they don't want to keep Lord Krishna, that you know, the charioteer and his wife. They think that if you keep this photo, then everybody will fight in the house. This is a misconception. With the Bhagavad Gita, you know, sometimes we tell, do we have Bhagavad Gita without this picture? Some people are. People are scared. And some people, they say, you know, this, it is good if we, you know, worship only Lattu Gopala. Because he will take Lattu and give Lattu. Because they are scared, you know, this Krishna. And there are so many misunderstandings about Krishna's pastimes. And it is quite normal for people to understand that Krishna is one of the avatars. You know, in Dashavatara, Krishna is one of the avatars. So he is a, but he is also avatari. We can understand from Lord Brahma, who is the creator, secondary creator of this universe. Ishwar of Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Adi Bodhi, the Sarva Karana Karana. Krishna is the ultimate. But he also appears, you know, once in one day of Brahma. That is, after 1000 categories that he appears once. So that, which happened just 5000 years ago, so we are still hearing those pastimes, and the places of those pastimes are still traceable. Those places are still there, and those places are still called by those names. Otherwise, nowadays, all the city names are changing. There are so many, in the history we can see, there are so many historical names are changed. So, there is one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Swanuttita Kunsam Vishwaksena Katasya Lopadaye Yedidani Shramaye Vani Kevalam. This is 1-2-8. See, the occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. The occupational activities a man performs, if it is not leading to Krishna consciousness, then it is just a useless labor. It is not very difficult to understand this. We can see in various, you know, in the workplace, there are so many people working so hard, day and day, you know, particularly, there are some of the sectors which are so complex way of working, like, you know, IT is one of the sectors, and finance, there are so many sectors. There is no time limit actually. Anytime you are called and you have to work, and if you are very fortunate that you may get a duty wherein, you know, you may finish your things in 8-10 hours, but still you have to work for so long. And by doing all these things, by taking all these troubles, if it is not helping us to take up some worship, some form of worship, some devotional service, then all this, whatever we are doing, is completely useless labor. That's what we can understand from Srimad Bhagavatam. Like if we don't take time to just stand out, you know, the prescribed rounds, what we have committed, and if you don't get time to worship the deities, if you don't get time to attend, you know, the satsangas, then that kind of job, that kind of assignment, we should really pray to Krishna that at least help me come out of this situation. We may go to that situation. So, because we may not be ready to come to, you know, just come out of that and then do something. We can understand, you know, how a grandpa can manage from our acharya, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was working like all of us actually. If you see, he changed so many jobs actually. He worked for so many places. And then he was a judge. And when he was a judge, he was having so much respect in the court that the British, they laid a special railway line from his, you know, in house, from house to the port actually. And he was working hardly for 3 hours. At around 11 o'clock he used to go and he used to come back at 2 o'clock. And rest of the time he was performing his devotional service. And he was having so many children also to take care of them. And he could achieve so much, so many things being a grandpa. Then one of his sons is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, and he is, you know, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. And you can see from Srila Prabhupada's life, Srila Prabhupada was again a grandpa, like all of us. And he was into the pharmaceutical business, and then he was practicing devotional service from day one, of course. And when he was young, when he wanted to, you know, take up, he wanted to participate in the freedom movement of Mahatma Gandhi. At that time, you know, he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And then, in the first meeting itself, he got the instruction that this freedom movement can stop. You know, can go on, but Krishna consciousness is very, very important, because this freedom, the freedom is not just one. The British people may go out of India, but somebody else, something similar to them, is going to take charge. But what is important is Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada took that instruction to heart. He said that, you know, you are a young, educated man, having knowledge of English, you should pick this subject matters or this process in English to the Western world. And that became Prabhupada, the vision for the life. And the whole life, it was a life in preparation. And then he left at the age of 69 for United States. And we know what all he had to go through in US, that he was not knowing anyone. And he knows whether to turn left or right when he landed in US. And then what kind of people, you know, he gave it. And we can see that how direct the process is. If a hippie who is used to drugs, sex, and all kind of the wrong things in their life, if they can come out of everything in few days' time, and if they can come to the level of renouncing and becoming sannyasi and preaching Krishna consciousness, we can understand how powerful the process is. There are so many examples of so many elevated devotees, not only within our parampara, also outside the parampara. There is a devotee by name Kanakadas. He was a disciple of Vyasaraya, and he was from a lower caste in the caste system, and he was trying to take some education from Vyasaraya. And there are so many Brahmana boys, the traditional Brahmana boys, and who were just criticizing him so badly. And they were practically, you know, harassing him. And then he left that place and he went to a place called Udupi actually. So there is a Lord Krishna temple. And this Udupi Krishna is established by none other than Madhvacharya actually. This is the deity, original deity which is established. This is the deity which was worshipped by Rukmini Devi in Dwarka. So this is a very amazing story, pastime, of how this deity arrived in Udupi. And this deity, this is established by Madhvacharya, who is the founder Acharya of Brahma Madhva Sampradaya actually. And this is the place where he was worshipping, and since he was from a lower caste, he was praying from back door actually, from a other direction. And then he was, you know, with a lot of devotion, he was singing the stories. There are so many bhajans. These bhajans are in Kannada language. There are so many bhajans he sang. He was glorifying the Lord. And then these Brahmanas who were, you know, criticizing, and they realized now he is there. And they went to that place and they were attacking him. You know, what are you doing here? And during that course, the Lord Krishna comes and appears. He turns his face. Now as you can see, the actual entry to the temple is in a different direction. Krishna turns his face. Now that place is called Kanaka Dwara. They have built a mantap and Kanak is established. So this is so amazing. We can see, you know, that Krishna can turn his face, the deity is turning the face. So this kind of pastimes, these are not the pastimes of Samvara Yuga actually. These are the pastimes of this Kali Yuga. And this is just few hundred years ago these pastimes have taken place. And Prabhupada established, that is why the deity worship, even though we are not following all the regulations, rules and regulations, but when we worship deity, there is the attachment, we can interact. So all the processes are perfectly in place for us to progress in our devotional life by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And there are so many kinds of services available. We can see, you know, if we have to celebrate one festival, there are so many services, the list of services, they have to understand, you know, so many things. Of course, very few of us respond to that. But there are so many services to be rendered. Any skill, anything we may have, we have a place in Krishna consciousness. If we don't have anything, if we are, you know, completely not in a position to do any service, we can just take the big bag and chant the holy name and perfect our life. So amazing. In Chaitanya pastime, we can see the Komalita Sridhar. He was just telling Manadani. And he was such a poor person. He was not having anything. He was having one small katori or something to prepare, one vessel to prepare, and he was using that for everything. And he was living in a small hut. And Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, used to go to him and bargain for you know, to few anas, that, you know, you are making a lot of money, and he used to, so much of interactions he used to have. And during Mahaprakash Leela, he was called, he would ask, you know, what you want, Srila. And he said that, you know, I don't want anything. I want that same divine to come to me every day and that loving exchange, that is what I want. So this is what devotees are looking for. So, in Bhagavad Gita 6.37, it is mentioned that the path of centralization or mixism is described in Bhagavad Gita. The basic principle of centralization is knowledge that the living entity is not this material body, but that he is different from it, and his happiness is in eternal life, bliss and knowledge. Satchidananda. These are transcendental beyond body and mind. Centralization is sought by the path of knowledge, by the practice of Eightfold Yoga System or Bhakti Yoga. In each of these processes, one has to realize the constitutional position of the living entity, his relationship with the God. The activities whereby he can re-establish the lost link and achieve the highest perfected stage of Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhupada is relating clearly to, you know, Krishna consciousness. Like the last verse of the same chapter on Jnana Yoga, 6.47. Yoginamapi sarvesham madhya tenantarasanam shraddhavan vajate yovam same yuktatam tamumataha. Of all the yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is most intimately united with me in yoga and is highest of all. That is my opinion. It is very clear, it is not meditation on something, it is meditation on Krishna. And the process is so simple, we can understand from 9.26, Patram Vishwam Palam Soyam Yoga Bhaktyatra Yashati Tadaham Bhakti Maskutam Asnami Priyata Asmanaham. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. So the process is so simple, but something in this that is bhakti. We all can offer, but the bhakti is necessary. So when we worship deity, it should not become like a ritual. Sometimes it happens. So I have to do this. So when that bhakti part of it is missing, then the process will take, may take longer period to rectify. And towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sarva dharmam parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami ma shuchah. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. There are so many verses in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is directly assuring us, like ananyam chintayanto mam yeshana paripasate tesham vidyati yuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Like, you know, if you surrender to me, I will take care of you. You need not to worry. So it is the direct process, whatever Prabhupada mentioned, which we all are very fortunate to be in. And it is for us to be sincere, or like, you know, it is said in Bhagavad Gita, other verses, the way you approach me, yeya thama prapadyante dhamsatayo gajaminam mama vasvam vasante manushya pato sarvashah. The way you approach me accordingly, I will deliver, I will reciprocate accordingly, according to how you approach. And the other part, the Prabhupada mentioned, you know, in the first page, the translation, you can understand that fruits of action, by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. So it is basically to attain peace of mind, one can achieve up to that. By doing all these so complex four processes. So Prabhupada clearly mentions towards the end of the purport that everyone is advised to take to the direct method and surrender to the personality body, Krishna. So this is the last concluding statement for this particular verse in the purport, and which we are trying to follow. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments? Any addition? Thanks. Additional points, then there is, you know, professor is taking a turn here, apart from just announcing and being that situated, it is also very complex, just being that situated. So that is why he said that he starts with cultivating knowledge. And then you can renounce. Cultivate knowledge and then meditation, then presence, fruits of action, then realize the other part he mentioned. Actually, if you see the verse, it starts with cultivate knowledge. If you cannot just renounce, because if you don't have knowledge, how you renounce? It may be difficult to renounce. So then you start with another part, that is cultivate knowledge. Knowledge to meditation. Meditation then renounce. You come to renunciation through that. And Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, there is one thing for every process, for any transcendental path, one thing, one common factor is renouncing the fruits of action. There is one common aspect. Prabhupada mentioned in some purport, I'm not exactly sure where it is, but renouncing the fruits of action is a daily requirement. But only if you are changing the sequence, if you cannot directly renounce, then okay, you come to knowledge, you try to understand first, and then you go for meditation, and then after that, then you renounce, then come to renunciation. But renunciation is there, whichever way you go. Okay, so this is my understanding. If anyone can add anything further, the book of rules. Because what we can see from these verses, that Krishna is giving different options in different ways. He is giving, first he stops first, then in the second. So actually, if somebody has to answer only to Arjuna, then the second verse is not sufficient. Because there are all answers is there. Just surrender to me, direct devotion to me. But these are options for various types of living entities. We know there are 48,000 human species. So every one of us are different. We want various options. So that is why he is giving different options, different rules. But you come, even Prabhupada says in one point in purport, I was thinking that Prabhupada is mentioning this. This method also is good. If Prabhupada mentions that this was also good. Instead of not doing it, just becoming a materialist, you become a transcendentalist, at least transcendentalist. So then there is a hope. But if you become just materialistic, it's like dog and horse. Prabhupada is always quoting this, that just eat, sleep and be merry. This is the most of the whole world is doing towards. And for that, what can go on? So in this path, he is giving various options. Thanks.
Thank you for the explanation. I had a question regarding meditation. I see there are, as you mentioned, there are various paths. We come across various people who are able to meditate much, much, much better. They can meditate for hours together sometimes. And although I chant Hare Krishna, but for me meditation is not even, it doesn't last even 2 seconds or something. After only a turn or two, my mind starts going here and there. So sometimes I get amazed by the capability. So I want to ask that just because Hare Krishna we are feeling that our path is greater or we need to try to practice some of their meditation techniques as well.
We do not have to practice their meditation. We need to practice our meditation with Prabhupada suggestion. Because chanting is just saying, many a times for the practitioners, we have so much of glorification of the holy name and wonderful, it is a perfect process, everything is there. But how sincerely are we following? Sometimes I observe, it may be happening with me also, I don't know. Even we are not uttering the name properly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We know we are chanting, if we record, and we particularly when we are chanting in a hurry, then we know how many hurries we sing in a hurry. And sometimes it is very surprising to us actually. It is good, worthwhile sometimes recording unknowingly. Just, you know, we have so many nowadays, all mobile and everything is, you know, recording devices are there. Just record our mantra and understand where we are, what we are chanting. And we may get a surprise that this is the mantra I'm chanting. This is quite different than what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suggested, we may realize. But in between also, sometimes we find that we start Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Then the next mantra may be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The next Hare is joined to the next mantra. One Hare Hare is missing, or one Hare Krishna is missing. So all these things do happen. And also, when we chant, many times we don't follow the basics. Prabhupada gave us concessions, these concessions for the beginners. One person who is just coming to Krishna consciousness, for him, just, you know, you chant, anywhere you chant, anyhow you chant, you just chant. So that is fine. But after practicing, if we want to progress, then we have to come to the stage of completing our chanting in the Nama Bhuta at least. You know, this is the basic thing. This is the basic thing. I always remember, I used to interact when I was interacting with Uttama Chaitanya Prabhu. He was emphasizing this point. We talk about deep philosophy, so many things, but we need to just do our basic properly. Getting up in the morning at 3:30 or 4 o'clock and doing our Mangala Arati and chanting our rounds properly before going to work. And then sticking to only Krishna Prasad. And then attending programs in the weekend. This itself can elevate a person to really a very good level. If you follow these many things which are very simple actually. It may be too complex for a materialistic person to understand this. One of the person was asking me, you know, waking up in the morning at 4 o'clock, that means by the time you come to office already you must have waked up to 5 hours already. I said, no, we get energy from this. If we drink out, then what is the use of following the process? So, these are the things we should understand. These are there in all Prabhupada books and from interactions, from so many things we can understand. It is not necessary for us to follow those people who are able to. We should have respect for them. If they are following properly, that is good, that is fine, we may have appreciation for them. And if possible, if they are inclined, we can give them freedom, prasad, or also give them holy name. And they may be very keen to accept because they are in the journey, in the path of yoga ladder, in the different stages. They are at a stage where they can come to Krishna consciousness very easily. It depends. It may happen in one moment, it may happen in this lifetime, or it may take many lifetimes. It depends. But those are the people who are, you know, very potential candidates for taking up Krishna consciousness. And by appreciating such people, I think we may develop, you know, this taste for chanting. Hare Krishna. As you mentioned from the meditation for 4 hours, what is the meditating on? So, what does meditating mean in Krishna consciousness? The word Krishna consciousness means conscious of Krishna in whatever we are doing, that includes chanting. So the problem with most of us is that after some time we become complacent. And we take it for granted that my tongue was just only stages, but my mind will be going on over and over. So when that happens, then we don't have the taste, and we don't get the love. Just like when you are in front of the deities, and you are chanting your mantras, offering, how do you do it? Do we focus? Krishna, I am. With your mercy and blessings, with the small intelligence, I have done this, please accept. And whatever shortcomings kindly, please forgive us. You know, maybe it comes to the prayer. So when you are actually focusing like that in your Krishna consciousness, then that itself is called meditation. And that's surpasses the 4 hours of meditation. Someone might be doing in mildly philosophy. And in impersonally saying, because they do not have Krishna's form. They do not know Shyama Sundara. They do not know the Mahesh Bhava. So the problem here is we become complacent over a period of time. Yes, Guru is given initiation. Yes, I have my tongue, I have my senses, I have everything. But how am I executing it? With what conviction am I doing it? Am I doing it because I want something out of Krishna? Am I doing it because I want to glorify Him? Am I doing it because I want to remember Him for the rest of my life in this material body? What is the purpose? Then all methods, when we execute the chanting, all these methods. I think once we were discussing this, and I mentioned to the congregation that His Holiness Ramakrishna Goswami Maharaj said that when you are chanting, you should actually instruct your mind not to disturb you. And when you chant one round without any one of your mind being slotting in a different thought, then you count that one as one round. Otherwise it is not applicable and it cannot be counted as one of the 15 rounds. So now you see what is the quality of our chanting. That we are chanting with, you know, it becomes second nature to become complacent. So when we actually chant and we actually pronounce Krishna's name and the syllables that come out from our mouth, we should be listening to them at the same time. They say that when one chants very sincerely, his heart becomes melted and he has a very soft heart. So there is also another yardstick for us to measure whether how we really chant it. Thank you.
Thank you, the night class, Guruji. With Arjuna's diversity, I wanted to know that, like, we firmly believe that following Krishna consciousness is the absolute, that is the param dharma which we ought to be following. Then why is it that different religion, Krishna has only made it like Christianity, Muslim, and so many different sects? If following Krishna holds, if that is only one thing which Krishna has created, then so many different states will not be there, people will not be going here and there. Everybody will be under the supreme law.
Most of the religions of the world, they talk about one God and that is there. So, there are a few ways we can explain this particular thing, that God is one, but the worshippers are at different levels actually. So like, there are 400,000 species among human beings. Everybody will not get attracted to Krishna because they are in their different levels, like mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, different proportions. These 400,000 are like, you know, the three primary colors that we mix together to form innumerable number of colors, like red, yellow, and blue. If you mix by different proportions, we can get different colors. So this is variety in Krishna's creation. But Krishna has given us a minute independence. And how we use that minute independence, it depends. And also, there's one more thing, that is why we find that there are different religions which are originated from some different part of the world. If you see their teachings are also at different levels. Like if you read some of the scriptures, where very basic guidelines, which those kind of guidelines you will not find in Bhagavad Gita, definitely.
you find those, I don't want to mention about those scriptures, at the same time what was mentioned, I read one of those very important religion, you know, it is, where it is mentioned, you are not supposed to have sex with your mother and your sister, these kind of guidelines. Definitely you will not find this kind of guidelines in Bhagavad Gita or any of the literature. So these are for different levels of people. Even though the preacher was a perfect person actually, he is a realized soul. He was like, even this explanation is coming in Bhavishya Purana and all, it is there. So but what they could preach is only depending on the receiver, depending on the audience. And these audience are there because it is Krishna's arrangement, this Yuga cycle. Yuga cycle is established by Krishna only. So if degradation has to take place, then Kaliyuga has to progress. So if Kaliyuga has to progress, then so many such religions should exist. Otherwise, how Kaliyuga will progress? We will remain, you know, in the Satavapada where, you know, bhakti is possible. It is said that for 10,000 years from the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is a golden age. And after that, it is going to be very, very difficult to perform bhakti. So it is by arrangement of Krishna, all these things are happening. Yuga cycle has to continue. Because people, whatever minute independence is given, people receive that independence. And they get into different modes, different categories. So, for them to elevate, these are the different processes are there. Like, you know, in every religion, there are certain things which are very common, like the chanting or the prayers. This is a very common thing. And giving charity is also a common thing. And there are some of the good points which follow, and they may get elevated also. They may come to the level of Krishna consciousness also. Hare Krishna. If anyone wants to give any additional, Hare Krishna.
One question. So my question is that in this verse, Krishna is speaking about different processes and how one can gradually elevate and comes up. But in practical life, we see that if a person is already following something, I mean, if a person is giving charity, or if a, like he is a philanthropist who is interested in giving something to the mankind and helping something, and if a person is a jnani or like engaged in the developing more knowledge and gyan. So, really do we see that these kind of people come to Krishna consciousness? Means they are stuck into their own thing and they actually cannot come out of it. So are these the levels or are they like a ladder thing, or is it they are different kind of people that Krishna is just telling about?
These kind of people are not gross materialists actually. You know, they have taken some path, they are doing something and which can help them. But whether they will progress further or whether they will fall down from that position, it is between them and Krishna. But if they are giving charity, so about the charity, I was in one of the Prabhupada mentioned, you know, what is the effect of giving charity to what kind of people one should give, what is the effect. This is for a normal materialistic person. Materialistic way of pious activities like charity is recommended in the Smriti Shastra, as quoted by Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in next life. And such charity is recommended to be given to a Brahmana.
if the money is given in charity to a non-brahmana without rabbinical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. If it is given in charity to half educated brahmana, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified brahmana, the money is returned in 100,000 times. And if the money is given to Veda Paraga, one who has actually realized the path of Veda, it is written by unlimited manifestation. So then Prabhupada mentions about Veda Isha Karve Ameva Vedya. This is what we are preaching. So if you give the money to this kind of path, where you know the ultimate distinct path, given whatever wealth or whatever knowledge is you utilize the Krishna consciousness, definitely we can make further progress. So when we see these kind of people who are inclined to charity and all, this is an opportunity for us to reach to them. It is good we can they can come to Krishna consciousness, or it is up to them. They can try. Some people are very inclined. So when we, you know, now we are building a temple in Pune, so there are many devotees who approach a lot of rich people who have their own charities and all. There are many people who are giving good charities actually. But when they come to Krishna consciousness, they don't not only give charity, then also, you know, they get involved in the chanting process and they call for Janmashtami program and all those things. They get the mercy of Krishna. That is something very amazing. And that one can do with lot of love actually. Lovingly one can do it. It's very nice. At least they want to at least part whatever they have earned with someone. At least they are not completely selfish and they are not just interested only in self gratification. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Jai Krishna Prabhu ji ki.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.